This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. The interview you're about to hear with Brian Baldridge, the director of the Ohio Department of Agriculture, was taped late yesterday afternoon. Since then, the first human case of bird flu was reported in Ohio. We'll discuss this development later in the hour with an infectious disease specialist. Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. Anyone who's bought eggs recently knows the feeling of sticker shock. 4, 5, or even more for a dozen. And it's not inflation this time that's driving up the costs. It's bird flu. Ohio leads the nation in the number of cases and in the number of wild birds destroyed, 10 million and counting. Here to talk about the latest on bird flu in Ohio and what the state is doing to try to contain the spread is Brian Baldridge, director of the Ohio Department of Agriculture. Welcome to All Sides.
Thank you, Amy. Glad to be with you today.
So first off, I think people have a general idea of what bird flu is, but it also can be called avian influenza. Can you just tell us what is bird flu as opposed to other sicknesses birds can get?
Sure. And just think about it as a regular flu, but this is that affects poultry. So this affects the industry as a whole. It's H5N1. We refer to it as bird flu. So it's impacting really heavily. Only the strain is really heavily impacting in the poultry industry.
Okay, so is it the same, the high path avian influenza that we see this acronym around, HPAI? Is that different or the same?
That is the same thing. We refer to it, the short version, as we discussed, bird flu.
Okay, so we're seeing it in wild birds, but mostly poultry. Is that...
So wild birds are the culprit. So as we look at this, you know, we know the migratory birds that are moving, especially this time of year, whether it's north to south, geese, and so forth. We look out the windows and we think about them as being carriers, and we're really concerned about their movements. We see upticks. This has been an ongoing response since 2022. We've had upticks throughout, and a lot of it depends on when migratory birds are moving. We had a die-off in early December of 24 in Grant Lake, St. Mary's, some geese. And so the flag went up, and that area is just north of where we've seen a lot of our outbreaks. So the flag went up. We were very concerned, heightened level, because 2024, we had zero commercial flocks, and we only had 3 backyard flocks that had any issues through 2024.
Okay. Is bird flu something that's been around for a long time, but it just has different instances when it's really bad?
Yeah, it's been around for a while. Our response has been going since 2022, but I have to say the preparation, preparing for the worst and hoping for the best from not only the Ohio Department of Agriculture, but USDA. And a big shout out to the poultry industry. The preparation has been going on for probably 10 years, preparing for this type of response. Hopefully, you know, again, preparing for the worst, hoping for the best. And, you know, we hope this didn't happen. But obviously, we have since basically Christmas Eve of 2024, we have been dealing with multiple outbreaks since then.
Yeah. And I said at the beginning that Ohio right now has the most cases of bird flu. Is that still true?
That is correct. Our neighbors to the far west, California, is just coming out of a spike that they had. Iowa, Minnesota as well has dealt with this in 2024. So unfortunately, we drew the straw. It was our turn. But again, you know, preparing for this was the key response, and realizing that there is a good process in place with a clear mission following USDA guidelines to try to do our best here in Ohio to stop the spread.
So if you find that, say you're a chicken farmer, mm-hmm. and you find that one of your chickens is sick, mm-hmm. what happens?
So I'll kind of walk through the process. And, you know, our producers are heavily engaged. Farmer myself from Southern Ohio, we love our animals. And health and taking care of our animals is top priority. And as you go into those barns as a producer, a farmer, realizing there's a difference. That could be maybe not as much water intake, mm-hmm. maybe not as much food intake. The barns are quieter. They're more docile. Mm-hmm. They don't react, because animals react when you walk into a poultry barn. There's a lot of chirping going on, right? So those farmers, those producers realize a change. Obviously, the worst-case scenario, they start seeing mortality. So they start seeing death of their birds. At ODA, we have an animal disease diagnostic lab, and that's the first line of defense as far as catching these outbreaks and preventing these outbreaks. So if a farmer producer sees something going on in his herd. Obviously, they're pulling samples. The Ohio Poultry Association has been very proactive in educating their producers on how to do this, swabbing their animals, getting those tests to ODA. Once those tests are at the Ohio Department of Agriculture, the turnaround time is about 7 hours. So we quickly know if we have a location that is concerned and is positive for a high path outbreak. Once we get those identified, immediately we're in contact with the Ohio Poultry Association, with that producer, and working through the process. We follow the best practices set forth by USDA, and that is to kind of quarantine that facility. We don't want to move birds off of that facility for the chance of spread. We go through that process. You know, we'll quarantine that facility, and then we start working through, unfortunately, the depopulation phase. And again, best practices by USDA. Once we do that, then obviously we compost these carcasses on site. Again, we don't want to move those. And then we go in through the deep cleaning phases, the actual disinfectant phases of these buildings. And then at the end, we do retest of the facilities to make sure there's no live vaccine. And then we let them set for 2 cycles, which is 14 days of the incubation period of HIPATH.
So is that the way to control bird flu? It is to literally kill the birds.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the mortality rate is very high. We saw we had one case early 2024 in dairy. This was a different strain, but it was still the high path strain.
You mean in a cow?
In a cow. Okay. I talk my farm terms real kind of flow.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is a dairy cow. We had one case, and it was direct connection to a farm in Texas. They brought a load of cattle up from Texas before they knew they had any issues. But that is a different strain that is affecting our poultry industry today. And to think about this, a large dairy cow could handle it. Basically, they went off feed. Their production went down. Their milk production dropped off for a couple weeks, but then they recovered, kind of like we would recover through a normal flu. Unfortunately, poultry cannot do that. We're not seeing that. The effect of HPAI, the mortality rate, is very high. So the key is to go in, unfortunately, and depopulate as quick as we can to try to stop that opportunity for more spread. Again, knowing that wild birds are our problem, and our facilities, you know, we do the industry does a tremendous amount of work to try to kind of biosecurity, making sure the best they can that no small sparrow, no small wild bird is going to get into their building. Mm. That's easier said than done. So the key is once we have a facility that is positive, we depopulate.
So the commercial raised birds, about 10 million in the state. Is that the current number that have been destroyed?
Yes, unfortunately. And as we talk about this spike, we know that since 2022 till the day before Christmas Eve in 24, we had depopulated. We had a couple spikes throughout that time. We depopulated about 9.4 million birds in that time frame. Mm-hmm. So that's about almost a 3-year window. And then go in to realize, you know, we're pushing 40 to 50 days of this outbreak, and we're at over 10 million. So this is significant, huge impact to our industry. Our farmers, again, farmer myself, we care about our livestock. Mm-hmm. And this is very devastating to them to see this process go on, but know that it's in the best interest of this outbreak. It's what our friends and neighbors across the state and other states who have dealt with this, using those best practices set by USDA.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about bird flu in Ohio with Brian Baldridge, the director of the Ohio Department of Agriculture. Now, you just mentioned that this is going to impact the industry here. I had no idea until I read it that Ohio is the second largest producer of eggs in the country. That surprised me, but also that's a huge impact on an important industry here. Can you talk about the egg industry here?
Sure. And first, I'll touch on agriculture in Ohio. You know, food and agriculture, a number one industry here in our state, $124 billion industry. And we as the ag community, we love to feed the world. And that's what we do. But as we look at our poultry industry, yeah, we're pretty competitive with Iowa. We kind of trade back and forth as far as where we stand and as far as layer egg production. And so it is a huge impact to Ohio, our producers, and the industry itself. As we think about it, though, you know, farmers, we're kind of price takers. you know, we don't get to set our end price as folks see in the retail setting. We take the price given from the marketers, and then there's middle folks involved, and then the end user at retail. And unfortunately, we don't, as farmers, as producers, do not get to set those prices. We take the prices given to us. So knowing that, you know, people might be seeing some higher prices, but knowing that doesn't equivalent and work its way back to the original producer, the farmer that's growing a wonderful, wonderful product here in Ohio.
So, yeah, if you have to destroy the chickens, then you lose the eggs, right? That's
It's not only chickens. If it's a layer facility, it would be, once it's diagnosed, it would be those any products coming off of that farm.
And it's anything happen?
Eggs, or if it's, you know, any type of eggs would be destroyed as well. That is destroyed as well once it's identified. But it's worth saying, as we think about our products, this is a livestock to livestock type of exposure and disease. Has no change to the end user. You know, I had a wonderful omelet this morning and will continue to do that because we know that our foods cooked at proper temperatures. We've talked about that for years, making sure that any foods that we're cooking are cooked to those proper temperatures. Fine and dandy. And, you know, we don't want that impact as well, because we know that a lot of folks enjoy those good omelets, those hard-boiled eggs, and the poultry products that we produce. And the agricultural community continues to want to produce a very safe and awesome product for our end users, our consumers that enjoy those products each and every day.
What do you hear from, we're going to talk to the Ohio Poultry Association later in the hour, but what if it's just one sick bird and the state comes in and says you have to kill all of them because of one? I mean, that's a hard pill to swallow.
Sure. And realizing, again, great collaboration between USDA, the Ohio Department of Agriculture, and the Ohio Poultry Association, preparing for this. But we know that in a facility, in a barn, there's close proximity. And we know once we get one positive test, that spread has already occurred. We have to, you know, do our best as an industry to stop this spread as quick as we can. And again, we follow those USDA guidelines that are put in place, used all across the country, of how we're working through this from the poultry industry and from the agricultural community as well, dealing with this HPAI outbreak.
Now, I know you can't predict the future, but you said it was kind of like, you said this was Ohio's turn to have a bad bird flu season. Will it go away?
I'm a positive person. The glass is half full. I hope today was our last number of outbreaks that we have. We don't know that. Again, as we work together in collaboration, you know, we hope this ends very, very soon for Ohio. It is very impactful on our farmers, our producers that are working through this. They are feeling the pressures. You know, there is indemnity funds set up to help them navigate through this. So USDA, again, following the lead, they are there, and a producer can get some relief financially of losing his whole flock. But I would stand behind the fact that doesn't hold them harmless. So we've got to get these facilities back up and going, clean, back up and going, disease-free, so that they're back in production too. Because, again, us farmers, we want to produce a quality product, a safe product for the American and world consumer.
Now, what most people, the next obvious question is, you know, it's in our poultry, but there have been nearly 70 confirmed human cases, one death in Louisiana. What are your worries for the spread to humans?
Sure. And we work very closely as an agency with the Department of Health. And they do a lot of outreach with our farm workers. We know most of these cases have been direct contact. So we have workers working on these farms and are dealing with this outbreak, going through the process of depopulation, composting, and so forth. So, they're, you know, we want to promote and know that they're using those best practices for human protection as well. It's a key, and that could be a lot of different ways of protection that they're doing to protect themselves as humans. But again, the collaboration going on between Ohio Department of Health and Ohio Department of Agriculture is very, very close to make sure that we minimize any challenge at all. We know that the chance of spread to humans is very, very low. It's always about direct contact. So we want to make sure those producers are doing best practices.
Direct contact with an infected bird.
That is correct.
Okay. So if say I buy eggs in the grocery store and the farm that they came from has a bird flu problem a week later, are my eggs okay?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
He's like, simple as that.
Yeah, yes. It's very simple with that one.
What is your day-to-day schedule looking like right now? I mean, you've been consumed by this for a while, and I think you're going to continue to be consumed by this. I mean, is it just trying to keep one step ahead?
Yeah, and this is again, multiple agencies, USDA, Department of Agriculture, and the end user, the producer, the person that's involved with Ohio Poultry Association. So we have a number of staff, and obviously we get into our animal health response side of it, and our laboratories. So that, again, where I described that initial test coming to the Ohio Department of Agriculture, going to our ADDL lab, which is our Animal Disease Diagnostic Lab, and starting at that point and working through and finding out whether this is a negative or positive. But then we have a number of vets, veterinaries, that are participating in farm use, producers on site, what's going on in a day-to-day operation as we depopulate, and then in turn compost, and then along with veterinary folks from the USDA as well. And again, it's being supportive to the industry. The farmer is still working through this on their own properties. The producers, they're working through this process that is set in place, again, by following the national guidelines to the USDA.
You talked about this much earlier on, but this is the problem. It comes from wild birds, right? That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
So you mentioned, well, I mean, what can we do about that? I mean, you can't just pluck the wild birds out of the sky and tell them to go away.
Correct. And this goes back to that, as I mentioned earlier, biosecurity, making sure that producer has got that building buttoned up as tight as it could be. We don't want that small sparrow who's been exposed to a migratory geese or something like that getting into the building. That's very hard to do. Even as we look at we have two categories. We have backyard flocks, and that could be you or I that have a few hens that want to enjoy our own eggs in our backyard. But we promote and push the fact that a backyard flock needs to take security as well. Do your best to close off the opportunity for wild birds to be exposed to your chickens at home, because obviously it can affect a backyard flock no different than a can of commercial flock.
Have you had backyard flock issues too?
Yeah, we have.
Is like an individual person like me calling and saying, my chickens all died?
Or? Yes. Yes, okay. It would be you as a backyard producer, somebody that's just having a handful for yourself. Yep, they're going to reach out to the local veterinary.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to reach out maybe to the local Board of Health, but also they can reach out to the Ohio Department of Agriculture, and we can give them guidance, you know, and we can work through getting samples to ODA to find out. You know, in the livestock community, we're always dealing with different types of diseases, and poultry are more fragile than our larger animals. So not always is it HPAI or bird flu. It could be something else. But the resource we have is at the Animal Disease Diagnostic Lab where we can run those tests.
Okay. And just, you know, finally, your department broke ground on a new diagnostic laboratory. It's not complete yet. Will this lab play a bigger role? Why did you need a new lab?
Absolutely. Our current lab is over 40 years old. Mm-hmm. It's served us well. But obviously, with a great amount of livestock producers here in our state supporting our industry, it was time to expand that lab. And yeah, again, our lab is not only there for detections and finding out where we have problems, but also in prevention. You know, we want to prevent that next disease that would affect livestock. And we know that animal livestock industry prevention also is the key to human prevention as well. So we want to be part of that solution. We're excited about this lab. Anybody that knows our governor, Governor DeWine, it's not done quick enough. I've promised him it will be done soon. And the deadline for that to be done is mid-2026 or toward the end of 2026. So we're excited about that. The commodities, which are all the different agricultural folks who represent Ohio industry, they've been so supportive of realizing how important this new animal disease diagnostic lab will be for Ohio and moving ahead.
All right. And do you feel like, I know I asked you to predict the future, but do you feel like we're going to come out on the other side of this soon?
We will. You know, it's just a matter of when. And again, I hope my notification this morning was the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And I know most of the industry is working through this. And as we look at this, it's isolated to a certain geographical area of our state. It's over in Western Ohio. We've got two counties that almost all of our sites, our quarantine sites are in, and that's Darker and Mercer County, working a lot with those local government officials to, hearing their concerns at the local level, hearing their challenges, and wanting to be helpful to them as well. We do have single outbreaks in Van Wert and all Glaze County, but very close to the border on those county lines. But yeah.
Okay. So is that typical that it's concentrated in one area? Or, I mean, birds fly everywhere. Right?
Yeah. And it is. As you look at migratory patterns, we know that they're kind of right in that pattern as well. And like I said early on in the conversation, we had a die off at Grand Lake St. Mary's, which is just north of this geographical area. And the other side of it, too, is realizing that this is our highly kind of populated area. There's a lot of producers in this geographical area. So it's a kind of double whammy, realizing we have a lot of producers there that are already producing poultry. But then it's very, very close proximity to where we had our initial die-off in the first part of December.
All right. Well, that is Brian Baldridge, Director of the Ohio Department of Agriculture. I want to thank you for your time today.
Absolutely. Great to be with you. And, you know, we're just so proud of the food and agriculture, $124 billion industry, our largest industry here in the great state of Ohio. We as farmers just love to feed the world.
And they're doing it from right here in Ohio. And coming up, we're going to talk with a veterinarian about safety measures when it comes to backyard chickens. That is when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. We're talking this hour about avian influenza, or the bird flu. On Wednesday, the Ohio Department of Health reported its first human case, an infected farm worker from Mercer County. Until now, the flu had been confined to livestock in Ohio, causing nearly 10 million commercially raised birds to be destroyed in the state. Tara C. Smith is an infectious disease epidemiologist at the Kent State College of Public Health. Her research generally focuses on zoonotic infections, which are transferred between animals and humans. Welcome to All Sides, Professor Smith.
Thank you for having me on.
So we've been told that humans contracting the bird flu is relatively rare. There's about almost 70 people in the U.S. that have contracted it since the outbreak started. That's since 2022. And almost all of them are farm workers. One person has died, but now there's a human case in Ohio that was just announced. So as someone who studies infectious disease, what's your take on the bird flu? How concerned should people be about this?
For the general public, I don't think you need to be concerned right now besides your egg prices. But as far as actual infection, as you mentioned, it has been almost all limited to farm workers. So I think that's the population that we should be concerned about right now, making sure that they are educated about this, making sure they have protective equipment. There was a drive to try to get them vaccinated against seasonal flu so that at least they would have protection from that and try to keep that from recombining with any potential avian flu infections. So right now, I think for the general population, the risk is quite low, but you still want to be cognizant of being in contact with any dead or ill wild birds or things like that, because we know that those can be a vector for transmission to people who aren't farm workers as well.
So how is it transferred from a bird to a person? Does the bird have to be dead, or can it be transferred from an alive bird too?
Yeah, it can be transferred from a live bird as well, from generally close contact. So handling the bird, touching the bird, being in close contact with their secretions. In birds, it's an intestinal illness, so you can also be in contact with their fecal material and get the virus that way. So it generally has been close contact or being in close proximity to these ill or deceased birds.
Now, I can attest that from walking on even like the Olentangy Trail, there's a lot of, you know, geese leave their mark there. Should we try to avoid that, especially right now?
I mean, just being beside it, is it going to make a big difference? But, you know, don't pick it up. Don't mess with it. Don't aerosolize it by, you know, stepping in it or anything. Just I don't think people do that normally with goose poop anyway. You try to avoid it, right?
So, right.
So just keep doing that.
So given that nearly 10 million birds have been killed in the state to try to deal with this bird flu outbreak, are you surprised we haven't seen more human cases here in Ohio?
I am. And I do wonder if part of this is that we're just not detecting them. You know, again, for most of the cases that we have seen in humans since January 2024, when all of this really started, most of them have been very mild. So mostly conjunctivitis cases, kind of a pink eye type of infection. We have had the one death in Louisiana, but a lot of them have just, you know, probably people might not associate it with a flu infection. That's why, again, one concern I have is education of these workers to know what they're looking for and to know what they should report if they get any of these symptoms. And there was a study out that was done in farm workers in Michigan and Colorado, looking at their blood and to see if they have antibodies to H5N1 for infections they might not have even realized that they had. And they did find that about 7% of those farm workers had H5N1 antibodies with no report of any illness. So I think this is probably not really our first case. It's the first one that we have found to date.
I see. And is there any worry about humans getting bird flu from eating chicken or eating eggs?
I'm not concerned about that. The infections we have seen so far are in close contact with animals. So, you know, I always recommend, of course, for other reasons, for other bacteria that can be on those products, you know, you cook your meat well, you cook your eggs well, you wash your hands after handling and things like that. So I'm not concerned about that. There has been some concern about raw milk products. So moving to the dairy cattle outbreak, we know that H5N1 has been found in some raw milk products. And there's one case in California where it seems to have been the source of infection. So I'm much more worried about that than any of the chicken products.
Okay. But most milk that you buy in the grocery store is pasteurized.
Right.
You would know if you were drinking raw milk, right?
Exactly. Yes. You have to go out and search for it.
Right. Right. I want to bring into the conversation veterinarian and assistant professor at the OSU Extension, Timothy McDermott. Welcome to All Sides.
Thanks, Amy.
So you work with backyard flocks. It's not just commercial poultry operations that have been impacted, but backyard flocks too. And a growing number of Ohioans are choosing to raise their own poultry. They like to have chickens. They gather their own eggs. What steps are you telling these backyard farmers to be taking to ensure safety of their backyard birds from the bird flu?
So the concept that we talk about to ensure safety of your backyard flock is called biosecurity. And the term means preventing the entry of disease into your flock or your herd, however you are raising your animals. And it's got multiple components. Really, there's different tools in the toolbox. And you know, when I do a backyard workshop, the first thing I talk about is where should you get your birds? And my recommendation is you get your birds from what's known as an NPIP approved hatchery. They use testing and they do selection to make sure that the chicks that you get come free of disease. It was originally designed to eradicate Salmonella pylorum back in the 1930s, and it is provided leadership by the Ohio Poultry Association here in Ohio. And then you want to start with some knowledge on how you can safely raise them. There's ways that you raise them right out of the brooder in terms of nutrition. You feed them for the intended use. Do I want to raise them for meat? Is it going to be for eggs? Is it going to be for show? But really the key component for preventing biosecurity is to address, one, the direct biosecurity, which is bird-to-bird transmission. And as you've heard, this gets into your backyard flock from interactions with wild birds. A lot of times that's migratory waterfowl. That could be songbirds with other diseases as well. So I like rock-solid coop security. I don't want any animals whatsoever to interact with backyard birds except for their people. That's a coop with fencing that is bird netting over the run, so you can't even get songbirds in there. A lot of people will let their birds range, but, you know, they're going to be attracted to head down to the farm pond. That's also going to attract the geese and the ducks, and that's where that negative interaction can be. So address that direct biosecurity, and then the indirect biosecurity. If you are working with other birds, humans can be the indirect vector for biosecurity by bringing some of the virus or bacterial diseases right back. If you have interacted with an ill bird and then you come and work with your own birds, you may not know it. You can't see a virus. You can't see a bacterium. So make sure you understand that there are certain things that you can do in order to prevent disease to enter into your backyard flock.
Over the past few months, have you talked with anyone who has some backyard birds that have gotten the bird flu?
No, I have not.
Hmm. So Brian Baldridge, the director of the Ohio Department of Agriculture, said that he mentioned how quiet the barns get in commercial farms when illness strikes. You can tell that something's wrong. Do you think that people who have backyard birds would be able to tell something's wrong?
Oh, 100%. One of the great things about raising, say, backyard chickens is how interactive and social they are. And that's another reason why people really enjoy it. And I do a lot of education with our 4-H program area. So like last year, we had 16,380 4-H poultry livestock projects. And I go and teach around to the
16,000 projects.
16,380. Like all 88 counties.
Kids raising chickens. Is that what you mean? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chickens are turkeys.
Yeah.
And so I do the biosecurity discussion with them. And one of the things I talk to them about is, regardless of species, you're working your animals. You know them the best. We want to identify what is normal in them. You know, how are they eating, drinking, peeing, pooping, breathing, ambulating? Are they happy to see you when you walk in? Because they always are. Mm. So if you see a change and you can identify an abnormal, because now you're comfortable identifying normal, the faster you can identify it, the faster we can institute treatment, the greater chance of a successful outcome.
So this idea of having even your backyard coop have netting, even on the top everywhere around it, I mean, that makes sense because Brian Baldridge said in the last segment that the way that they stop this is to have the chickens where they are being raised on these commercial farms, to have them tight and secured, not let even a little tiny sparrow from the outside get in. Is that what you mean? You have to have your backyard coop completely secured from wild birds?
That is what I recommend, 100%. You have a number of predators that you want to keep out of the coop, so you're going to have rock-solid fencing. And then realize that some diseases come in on what potentially would be your buddies. So make sure that you are preventing any interaction with wild birds and your backyard flock.
Are more and more people having backyard birds? Have you found there's been an increase?
100%. Mm-hmm. We were seeing a gradual increase before COVID. And then when COVID happened, everybody wanted to grow their own food. They wanted to bake their own bread. And they wanted to get chickens and do all of those things. And then once we get past COVID, then we have, you know, that whole cohort of people doing that and they enjoy it. And I think that now that we have the bird flu and we're seeing an increased price in eggs, that's another sort of input that is sending people to learn how they can keep that safely. I did a backyard poultry production workshop last night at a local urban farm. We had over 50 people show up in the rain for that program, and I would say over half of them wanted to learn how to get started.
And I'm going to bring Professor Smith back into the conversation. Still with us, Tara C. Smith, an infectious disease epidemiologist from the College of Public Health at Kent State. Professor Smith, do you think that state and local officials are taking the right steps here? Do you feel like we can eventually get this bird flu outbreak under control?
I do. I think there's been a lot of communication. I know there's been a lot of work and surveillance behind the scenes, not only in the commercial farms, but also there has been some surveillance done in the wild bird population as well to try to keep track of this. So I think we're trying, you know, to do everything that we can. There are also, you know, we have a stockpile of H5N1 vaccines as well that are approved. Unfortunately, they're a little bit older, so they're not well matched to the current strain, but there's some suggestion those could at least work as kind of a stopgap if this does start to spread out within the farm population or into the general population. So I think you know, things are being done. I think people still have a lot of questions, and you know, they're still concerned, of course, about, you know, will this spread and will this become human to human transmissible? And those are not questions that we can definitively answer right now. But I think as far as trying to work on what we have going on currently, people are doing about the best that they can.
and veterinarian and assistant professor at OSU Extension, Timothy McDermott. What advice would you have for people who have their backyard chickens? They, you know, and they want to keep them, and they want to keep them away from this bird flu outbreak, which we don't know how long it'll be going on. Just what would you tell them to be doing with their backyard birds?
So learn the concept of biosecurity and then live it in your interactions with your birds every day. And then what you can do besides that is just find those sources of knowledge on how you can keep a healthy and safe flock. I recommend making sure that you develop that veterinary client-patient relationship with a veterinarian that sees poultry if you have a medical concern. We do have a list of veterinarians who see poultry in Ohio hosted on the College of Veterinary Medicine's website that I can share with you. But sort of using all of the tools in the toolbox that we have available is going to go a long way to keeping a healthy flock.
And basically every city and town has different rules on what you can have in your backyard, right? Is there rules on the number and rules on how they're kept?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that is one thing I address when I do the various workshops that I do is there's really no standardization for keeping backyard poultry across cities or municipalities here in Ohio. And so, you know, the very first slide is check the rules and regulations because you don't want to go out and purchase some birds and get all the various equipment things that you need to raise them and then find out that you can't legally keep them because then we have to try to rehome them and we're having a lot of challenges that way.
Thank you to veterinarian and assistant professor at OSU Extension, Timothy McDermott. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Amy.
And also thank you to Tara C. Smith, an infectious disease epidemiologist and professor at the College of Public Health at Kent State. Thank you, Tara.
Thank you for the invite.
And coming up, we're going to talk with the Ohio Poultry Association about their response to bird flu. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. We're talking this hour about avian influenza, or bird flu. It's led to the destruction of nearly 10 million commercially raised birds in the state. It's also impacted backyard flocks. Ohio leads the nation in the number of cases, and Ohio is the second largest egg-producing state in the U.S. Jim Shikaris is Executive Vice President of the Ohio Poultry Association. Thanks for being here, Jim.
Thank you. Good morning.
And it's not your organization is a nonprofit trade organization representing more than 1,000 egg, chicken, and turkey farmers across the state. So, from your perspective, how are you viewing the latest spike in bird flu cases here in the state?
Well, obviously, it's devastating to the farms, to the consumers, to everyone that's involved. And we do, you know, everything every day to respond to the current situation. And we've been working for a long time to prepare farms if this should ever happen. And so, you know, educating farms, helping them, you know, mount a response. We're involved with several different areas of this particular response.
Now, the idea that if even just one bird in your production comes down with bird flu, then you have to kill all the birds. That seems devastating to me.
Oh, it's devastating. There's no question about that. And it's not an easy thing to do for the families involved. But the challenge is that this is such a contagious disease that ultimately all of those birds will become sick and will die. And so it's actually the humane thing to do. And it also will prevent the spread of further disease, hopefully, to other birds in the area.
Are you finding that, I mean, I'm sure farmers are reporting when their birds get sick, but I would have to think that they would be like, are you sure? Are you sure? Right?
Yeah. And the testing protocols that are in place have been thoroughly vetted. They have been tested time and time again. The National Veterinary Science Laboratory also has to confirm any positive test coming out of the state of Ohio or any state. And so, and a lot of the times, if to protect the birds and the flocks, if you do have an infected site, then we start testing all the flocks in the area on a regular schedule just to try to get an early detection, if possible, to stop the spread.
Now, Brian Baldridge from the Ohio Department of Agriculture said there is some financial assistance available for farmers who have to destroy their flocks. What does that look like?
USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture, provides for a program to help reimburse the farmers for a portion of this cost. So that is helpful to the farms. I don't have the exact numbers, and it varies from farm to farm and, you know, ages of birds, what that, you know, looks like. But, you know, it not only helps with the actual value of the birds, but with responding to it, cleaning, disinfecting, getting ready to hopefully get that farm back in production so that we can continue to supply eggs to the consumer.
Now, how long does it take to reestablish a flock, repopulate, if you have to go through this?
It depends on whether we're talking turkeys, chickens raised for meat, or eggs. You know, a lot of it is, you know, we have to go through a fallow period. We test the environment to make sure there's no virus present. So it could take several weeks up to months. And then you've got to factor in the life cycle of the bird. You know, a chick is takes 21 days to hatch, and then she has to be about 18 weeks old before she starts laying eggs. So it could be up to, you know, 6 months before we get back to a regular production cycle.
Now, we're dealing with both inflation and also the loss of chickens that can produce eggs for this, the cost of eggs going up right now. So are we looking at it's going to continue until we get this bird flu crisis under control?
You know, I don't have that magic pricing crystal ball, and we don't usually get in the middle of those pricing conversations because the farms don't set the prices. So it's just going to depend. I think it comes down to supply and demand. And as soon as we can get that supply built back up and the farms are working hard every day to do that, then we hope to see some ease in the pricing at the stores.
What do you want people to know about eating chicken and eating eggs from Ohio right now?
That it's safe. You know, that the CDC says the risk is very low to humans. We've looked at the food safety parameters that are associated with this. Your eggs, chicken, and turkey remain safe. And always, you know, thoroughly cook your products that you're consuming. And that's just an extra measure all the way around with any potential, you know, contamination.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking with Jim Shikaris, Executive Vice President of the Ohio Poultry Association. So Ohio, on average, is the second largest producer of eggs in the nation, 10 billion eggs a year. How did Ohio become such a hub for eggs?
You know, I think there's a lot of history and strong family tradition. I like to think it's our strong work ethic, but also we are here in the easternmost portion of the Corn Belt. So we have a ready supply of corn, which is the number one ingredient into poultry, you know, feed or food. Mm. And then we're also, you know, in this particular area, close to such a large percentage of the U.S. population. So I think, you know, if you combine all of those together, it just makes for the perfect opportunity to have a robust poultry industry in Ohio.
Now, I'm guessing it also generates a lot of money for the state economy. Have we seen an economic hit because of the bird flu problems?
Well, we haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure that there will be an economic hit because we are looking at again, a reduction in numbers as fewer eggs, turkey, and chicken going to market. And so that's something we've got to be aware of. And but, you know, the industry is resilient. We will bounce back and we'll get back to where we were.
I probably should have asked the last guest this, but is bird flu like human flu where it's worse in the winter? Do you know?
You know, it's interesting, and I don't want to pretend to be a veterinarian or an epidemiologist, but yet traditionally we saw that once it warmed up, it kind of went away. But we haven't seen that as much in the past couple cycles of this particular strain of avian influenza. Mm-hmm. And again, our greatest threat for spread is the migratory birds. And we know that they go south in the winter, but then they come back north in the spring. And so that's also, you know, a cause for concern. What is the next migratory, you know, flyway going to look like?
Now, recently, we've had the first human case of bird flu here in Ohio. There's been other cases around the country. But, I mean, that has to hit close to home. You care about the farmers and their workers. What are you telling them about making sure that they stay safe? I mean, for the most part, bird flu is not deadly for humans, but...
Correct. And you know, this is, you know, so far an isolated case. What we are seeing and what we do on a daily basis, even before this happened, is to make sure to protect the workers. And so all the farms have a readily available supply of what we call PPE, or personal protective equipment. So coveralls, boots, masks, goggles, all those things to help protect them from the virus. And so those are all available. They change several times a day. So we want to make sure that we have that information that's available to share with, you know, our workers about how to protect themselves. So that's on the farms, as well as the equipment itself.
Now, the birds, if there is a bird flu case at a commercial farm here in Ohio, the Department of Agriculture said they have to be destroyed there and stay there. We're not like traveling around with this, right? So the farm workers who work there have to deal with it, right?
Correct. And we do bring in additional, you know, human resources to help work with an outbreak, but everything is contained to that farm. And again, it's, you know, as everyone has talked about, biosecurity is so important. And even during that particular response to an incident, we have, you know, we have the side that we need to make sure that we're protected on. And then we don't want to take anything out of these particular sites. So it's a very strict procedure that is followed.
So you're working closely with the Ohio Department of Agriculture on all of this. So if there's a bird reported, that's your first stop with them. Yeah,
correct. We work very closely with the Ohio Department of Agriculture, USDA, and we all work in concert then in terms of getting a quick diagnosis so that then we can activate quickly and respond quickly.
Now, your group, I was looking at your website, your group is working to educate people about where their food comes from. You have a lot on your site about that. So why do you think why is it important for people to have a meaningful connection to the food they eat?
I think everyone wants to know what they're putting in their bodies. You know, what are we consuming? What are we eating? What are we drinking? And so, you know, Ohio is proud of the fact that we produce safe, wholesome food. And the poultry industry is a huge portion of that. So, you know, we want to make sure that people understand and have a basic knowledge of what's available and what's out there, because there are so many misconceptions. So we want to make sure that, you know, we can have that information readily available for a consumer when they would like to know more.
And we're talking a lot about chickens and eggs, but has this bird flu impacted turkeys here too?
It has. Primarily, we've seen it in our turkey farms and our egg-laying farms in the state of Ohio.
And how hard is it? We talked in the first segment about keeping the commercial operations tight so that no wild birds can get in, right? How hard is that, though? I mean, there have to be air vents. Are sparrows sneaky? I don't know.
Well, you know, the farms work very hard to keep that from happening with screening material. And, you know, many of the larger farms actually have a shower in, shower out facility. Mm. So when you enter that farm to work there, you go through a shower and change your clothes into the clothes that are provided there. And so it's ultimate protection. Vehicles entering the farms are sanitized. When they leave the farms, they are sanitized. So there's multiple steps that are involved in that process to protect the birds.
Now, Brian Baldridge from the Ohio Department of Agriculture said that, you know, there's been bird flu here and there. And he just said it's kind of like, I think he phrased it as it's like, unfortunately, it's Ohio's turn. You know, like it just happens and we have to just deal with it. Is there anything else that can be done? You just have to kind of wait it out.
At this point, we wait it out and we continue to look and evaluate the current situation. How can we get better and prepare for this not to happen again? Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, we're looking forward to, you know, decreased numbers of new cases and hoping for the best every day.
Now, and your organization is also working with the Ohio Department of Agriculture on mental health awareness for farming communities, a program called We've Got Your Back. Farming's hard, right? And I can't even imagine how much harder it would be to walk in and then suddenly have to lose your entire commercial flock. So what are you doing to to help with and the worry about that? What do you say to the farmers?
You know, and again, farming is difficult. You've got so many different factors that you can't control, and this is just one more big thing on that list. And so we're continuing to make sure and provide resources so people know where to reach out to. We're making sure that the local community is supported and is supporting each other. However we can help in that area, we do. We provide additional resources. I talk to my members regularly and check in. How are you doing? And how are your team members doing? And are you talking to them and checking in with them regularly? So not only are we caring for birds, we're caring for a lot of people too.
And, you know, often when you think of farmers having trouble, you think of a summer drought, right? Like that's the immediate thing. But this is just another added stress. And this is all just important to the economy in Ohio, right?
Exactly. We're a huge contributor to the economic impact of Ohio. And again, we've got a mild turn down here now. It's going to affect us for a while, but we'll be back. We'll be back.
And do you want to tell people to look at the eggs and buy eggs that say made in Ohio? Or does it say that? I don't even know.
You know, first and foremost, I want you to eat chicken, turkey, and eggs. And then if you see that they're from Ohio, that's even better.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. That's Jim Shakaris, Executive Vice President of the Ohio Poultry Association. Thanks for being here today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And this is All Signs with Amy Jurevich on 89.7 NPR News.